happy with
so
this.
So wait a minute.
Even your dad says, wow, you're a hard taskmaster.
So your dad agrees that we like great new movies and you have bad taste.
Oh, yeah. It'd be so great if your dad said, you gave Casablanca a what?
No, I don't know.
Great if he did a spit take.
He just gave me his full, he just said.
Wow. Your dad knows what's, you know what, do.
You're a really harsh critic.
But I think, ask your dad for all those rankings on those and see what he's, bring it back to
That's
us.
A lot of movies.
Hey, listen, you need to spend time with your old man.
Your old man.
I didn't want to say this.
But.
Wow, they're tough.
Here we go. Theme music.
Chewing gum.
As they say over on the HVH podcast. Never mind. The Los Angeles Underground. It's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear holes.
You are getting so good at
you
that.
You didn't even have to cue her in that time.
I didn't even make eye contact because last time it was
weird. I kept staring at you.
I know. I could feel it. I was like, wow,
I feel like there's a cold shoulder. I got to work harder to get you to turn.
I felt like there was a super carrot standing on the other side of that doorway. And I didn't want to open the door.
A super carrot.
Super.
And
super,
James Arness as the carrot.
Super science. Super. A lot of this week's Digital Movie Club. A lot of coffee in stressful situations. Can I get you some coffee? Would you like some coffee?
That's all they're doing.
Do you need coffee?
I know. They should have had a bathroom on every floor.
This was the golden age of coffee during crises and lighting stuntmen on fire. This is like the golden age of that. We saw a lot of that.
Because that's what I need when my heart's racing a million miles an hour is coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need more.
Can I get you some coffee?
Well, they got to stay awake because it's snowing outside and this thing's trying to get in.
Coffee.
Hey, they should have given the monster some coffee.
Yeah, there you go.
Remember on Barney Miller?
You look a little tense. Can I get you some coffee?
How about a
nice cup of Folgers?
Gee, he never has a second cup.
Sanka. You need
this
Sanka.
This movie is brought to you by Folgers.
Folgers. There was no product placement back in those days, but if there would have been, both those movies would have been...
I know. Those days, that was a problem. Oh, we can't have that Coke in the background. That's it. Now it's like...
That was all in radio shows.
I don't want to pay for it.
That's it. How was everybody's week? Is everybody pumped up?
Yes.
Since we're doing Digital Movie Club, did anyone see any movies this week? I didn't.
Yes.
What did you see?
I saw Dora the Explorer.
How was it?
In the
Lost City of Gold.
Lost City of Gold.
Yep.
Yes.
How was it?
It was Dora the Explorer.
Did you take Ed to go see it?
No, I really should have. In hindsight, I really should have invited. We should have invited him.
Sandy, did you go as well? Sandy's here, by the way, everybody. It's the usual gang of idiots plus Sandy. Hi, Sandy. How you doing? Wait, your mic's really low, honey.
No, it's
I just called
she's
you
not
honey
close.
In a,
you got to get
in a very
right up
condescending
on it. Right
way.
Up on
I apologize.
It.
Right up on it.
There it is. What did you think of Dora the Explorer?
It was not the theme good song. For a kid's movie.
Was she a super cool Explorer, Dora?
Yes.
Oh, right, see.
Cool. Okay, good.
Did she bring her backpack?
Yes, she did.
And the map?
She brought
and
her
the map. Uh-huh.
She also did drugs.
What did she do? Some kind of...
Hallucinogenics? Or peyote?
Oh, cool.
Spoilers.
At any point, does she stop?
Spoilers. She does.
Wait for the
drugs.
Audience to answer.
I heard she does.
It's in the preview. Yeah.
What? What happened?
That's so hilarious.
What happened?
If she just stopped in the movie and just asked, waited for an answer. I'm sorry, that's just hilarious.
They do it in the trailer.
No!
Yeah, that's the whole crux of the show. That show would be 10 minutes long if she didn't stop and wait.
It does.
And
no.
You see the little mouse, the cursor.
Yeah.
It doesn't take itself very seriously.
Good.
It makes plenty of jabs at the animated kid show.
It. I'm gonna go see this.
And yeah, it's decent.
It's an all Latino cast. I gotta go see.
Can they make an R-rated version where it's super violent?
Is there violence?
Wait, is Swiper a person?
I mean, as much as a TV movie special.
Swiper's a fox, kid.
I know, but is Swiper a person in the movie?
In a fox suit, or is it a CGI?
I can't say. You have to watch the movie.
Does she say Swiper no swiping?
She has to.
I'll wait for Netflix.
Speaking of which, I started Aquaman last night.
All Latino cast, pretty good.
It's on HBO.
It's got...
Jake's just not listening.
What? That's okay. I asked him for it.
Yeah, he asked me. Duh.
What'd you give it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Like a 6 and...
So like Casablanca level.
Like 6, yeah.
Jeez.
Like 6,
Christ.
6.5. depending on your mood, you could probably bump it up to a little 7.
Sandy, what do you say?
I was going to say 7.
Give it a 7?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, cool. And you're pretty... You're a pretty tough critic from what we've talked about. We've talked about a few.
No, not really.
Very lenient.
Shh. I'm trying to sell it.
Quite the opposite.
I'm trying to give you credibility and it's not working.
Okay. Good.
Film cred.
Yeah, good. Well, I do want to see it because it's all Latino. Come on, who doesn't want to see
it?
It's
got Benicio del Toro in it.
Yeah.
It's got
Benicio del Toro, that's who's Swiper.
Danny Trejo.
Oh, so
it's a person.
It's Danny. I can't do it, but he'll flip you. He'll flip you for real. Danny Trejo? He doesn't talk, though, right?
What?
Danny Trejo's the monkey.
Danny Trejo's the monkey.
No, he's in line.
He's Boots.
He's Boots.
They announced that a long time ago.
It's either he's Boots or he's the backpack.
Because you're racist, probably? I don't know.
Wow. I said the backpack. I didn't say backpack.
I heard the way you said it.
He's the backpack.
You know what? He's the machete.
Yeah, there you go.
And this one door has got a machete.
And it's Danny
Trejo. Oh, my gosh. That's a great cast.
Is Edward James almost in it anywhere? Because he's the only one missing.
I don't think so.
But Michael Pena, isn't it? Right? As the dad?
Yeah.
I wish Edward James Olmos was the map. That'd be awesome. I'm the map.
Fill in the hole.
I'm the map.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm the map. Hey, Dora.
Oh, my gosh. I want to see this movie.
Dora. Listen, I'm Dora.
The backpack loaded up with things and knickknacks too.
Dora. Listen, I'm the map.
Hey.
You gotta get from here, point A to point B.
To do that, you have to drop the chasm.
Okay, here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna take Whittier Boulevard all the way in to East LA, right? Then you're gonna get to Soto Street. I want you to cut over to Chavez. Used to be Brooklyn Avenue.
And don't get confused. Talk to a guy named.
Don't get confused. The way I like to enter Dodger Stadium, I go up to Chinatown, come through Vin Scully Avenue, right up the 101. You get in, especially if it's bobblehead night, because you don't want to be late. Then you don't get your bobblehead.
They need to make a sequel.
That's it.
There you go.
Well, like Spy Kids, they eventually work all these actors in.
It does have like a Spy Kids-y sort of
vibe. It looked like that's kind of what it reminded me of was the Spy Kids vibe.
Doesn't take itself very seriously, just there for a lot of fun.
Cool. I mean, my daughter was so hooked on Dora when she was a kid that I think
stay all the way to the end and you'll get a little something.
All right. A little something.
A little something.
Okay, maybe we'll go tomorrow.
Maybe for your trouble.
Maybe we'll go check it out. She's like, Sandy is disagreeing.
I didn't say it was something. It's a little something.
A little something.
Just a little bit. Little, just a little something.
Little.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little trailer for Blue's Clues, the movie.
Who would you cast as the dog?
Oh my God, real dogs.
Yeah. No, they have to be blue, though. It has to be a cartoon.
Yeah, you can paint them.
You don't paint dogs.
And you go with Steve or Joe in the movie?
Oh, Joe. Steve.
Steve is the original.
Oh, wait,
I think someone's calling the Superiority Complex.
Is someone calling the hotline?
I think so.
It's Edward James Olmos.
Hello? Hello?
Hey, it is Edward James Olmos.
Hello.
He said, thanks for the plug.
Hey, John, I just want you to know you're doing a good job over there on the podcast.
I'm filling in the hole.
Yeah, you have to have the ganas to do a good podcast.
Fill in the hole.
All right, are you guys ready? Should we jump in? I feel like we're going to have a lot to talk about this week.
There's a lot.
I feel like there's a lot to unpack. Did anybody else see any new movies this week? Anything?
I finished The Boys.
How was it?
It was great.
Not a movie, but thanks for playing.
You're welcome. It felt like one.
How was it?
Long, but it was good.
Was it funny?
It's a dark show.
Oh. The way they make it, they're kind of selling it like it's kind of goofy.
Wait, is the boys the one,
like
the superhero one?
Yeah.
It's on Amazon. It's Amazon's highest rated show ever.
It is bad. I mean, not bad, but it's
group of vigilantes
audiences
taking down supervillains.
All I know is I want Carl Urban to be the next Wolverine. That's all I want.
I heard you say that in the last podcast.
It's fantastic. He'd be fantastic. Not to mention the fact that I think he's Australian or New Zealand. Is he a New Zealandy?
The guy, though, that's supposed to be...
Kiwi?
Like Superman?
Homelander?
Face, I don't like his face. Yeah, Homelander.
He's supposed to be hateful looking. Yeah, he's supposed
to be. His face isn't... Like, I feel like he's supposed to be this American guy, but he doesn't look... It just doesn't work.
Is it based on a comic?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Dark Horse or...
I think it might be Dark Horse or Image. One of the...
The episode with the plane was the hardest one to watch.
Looks Dark Horse-y.
And it's the female episode, actually.
The female episode.
Yeah, it's called something female, but...
I'm going to check it out. I'm like two episodes in. Two or three episodes in.
That's what you said last episode.
Also, The Taco Chronicles is really good.
I told you.
Especially if you're hungry.
I know.
If you're hungry,
why are we whispering?
Because nobody wants to say, because then we'll all get hungry and don't want to go get tacos.
Let's go to Jack in the Box and get some tacos.
I started watching Aquaman last night. Didn't know Nicole Kidman was in it.
Aquaman?
It's on HBO.
Oh, you hadn't seen it in the theater?
Mm-mm.
Did it hold water for you?
That's kind of ironic. It's ironic that you hadn't seen it, because every show there, you were going, my man!
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to. I had no desire.
Yeah.
You know why?
Yeah.
Basically because of my man!
So how is it?
The first 5-10 minutes were cool. They were fine.
That's all you've seen?
Yeah, it was a little more violent than I thought.
He murders someone right at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They pretty much murder people straight up.
Yep.
So it's a little edgier take on your Aquaman. And Jason Momoa, he's a charming guy.
You saw Justice League. He was one of the better things in Justice League.
Yeah, he's got charisma. So.
One of these days, I'll have to see it.
He's a lot to soak in.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing with Manta was pretty cool, though. That whole thing where he's just like, yeah, later. I'm out. He got himself into it.
Once you start, you just want Momoa.
Oh, that was terrible. All right, guys. Let's talk about it. We're just taking these in order. All right? So let's do it.
In chronological order?
Jake?
Yes.
Will you favor us with the Digital Movie Club theme, please?
Okay.
Which is now the RKO theme.
Dun, dun.
You're in the club. Justine, how was that?
It's all right.
It was lower, which gave him some more room.
What I love is when I see it, I'm watching it real time, being recorded on ground. It's solid. It's like we've peaked. Yeah. Solid bars. Welcome to another edition of the Digital Movie Club. Every 2 weeks, we get together and we watch some movies that are in my digital movie collection. And we're getting ready. We're on the cusp of the 1980s. Woo. We just have a few classics that we didn't miss them. But they got picked up while we were doing the other decade. So we went back. We've done some cleanup. And this week we covered 3 1950s classics. A couple from the early 50s and one from the late 1950s. Only one in color this week, guys.
One.
But what beautiful Technicolor it was.
And how.
We'll start out with a little movie from 1951. We're going to go ahead and call that... What was that?
A theremin. Mm-hmm. That was Patrick's personal theremin.
That was Jake.
That's me.
Don't you start.
So you're a ventriloquist.
On the radio. All right.
A ventriloquist on the radio.
That's it. Let's go ahead and we're going to start with the 1951 classic, The Thing from Another World.
You mean Plant Frankenstein?
You don't have to.
That thing's alive, sir. I saw it. I shot it. I hit it. I know it. Nothing happened. It just kept coming at me, making a noise like a cat mewing. Captain, it was awful. You could have seen those hands and those eyes. Captain, you've got to do something about it. You've got...
Is it human or inhuman? Is that a sentence?
Snap out of it.
Earthly or unearthly? Baffling questions. Astounding questions. That not even the world's greatest scientific minds can answer.
Gentlemen, do you realize what we've found? A being from another world is different from us is one pole from the other. If we can only communicate with it.
Why do they always want to communicate?
See?
What happened, Doc?
In the greenhouse, I was working. I couldn't see.
Yeah.
Then a blast of cold air, and I heard Olsen scream.
Come here. Get in the corner. Now hold this in front of you. Stay by the light switch.
1.9. Needles hit the top.
Thing from Another World. Distributed by RKO Pictures, by the way.
That opening theme song is just too much.
You like that one, John?
And also the way the light's coming in from behind to spell it out.
It's so good that John Carpenter doesn't change it for the new one, for the remake.
John Carpenter says this is the movie, he saw this as a kid, and it's the reason he wanted to make movies. This had such a huge effect on him. That's why he got in the movie business.
Love it.
Yeah.
We're going to play a little of that music.
Yeah, Dimitri, that music is wonderful.
Dimitri Tiomkin.
This is like an A picture.
So should we change this to our... I like this for our Digital yes. Movie Club theme. So, this... Now, none of you had seen this before.
Yep. No.
We play a board game based on the remake of this.
You've all seen the remake with Kurt Russell.
No. It's coming up, though, in a couple of weeks.
But after watching this, I'm like, we don't play this game.
This isn't the game.
This has nothing to do with the game.
It's not a plan
muscle. There's no helicopter to get on.
That's a great thing. Holy cow.
I'm so scared right now.
That just gets your pulse racing.
Are you guys okay? So who had not seen this version of the thing?
All of us.
None of us.
So you see the board game. So, you know, because the John Carpenter remake, I think it's closer to the book. So maybe the board game's closer to that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I've never read the book. It's based off of the movie.
It's exactly like
the new
movie.
One.
Yeah.
It's exactly like
there
the
you one. Go. Well, they can do more with special effects, you know.
Let me ask
and
you.
Now you can
no,
do
it's a
more.
Board game, not a video game.
They were talking
no, I'm
about
talking
board.
About the John Carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
That was all practical effects. And that one they did a couple years ago, the third remake, that was CGI, you know.
I had no interest in seeing
it. It wasn't bad. Either.
It was actually kind of takes place like the day after. You know, at the other camp.
After tomorrow?
It was pretty solid.
Let's think about what we say before we say it.
Jesus. Yeah, Patrick. Think about what you say.
No regrets.
I love that. I regret nothing. I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Give
so,
me 5 minutes.
Okay, so John and I were the only two who had seen this. Now, Sandy, did you watch the... You watched them all.
I watched them all.
Okay, let's start with Sandy because you are guests... And we are your hosts. What did you think? Tell us everything you thought about this movie.
Everything.
Yeah.
Chess.
It was good.
Perfect. Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
You did. You don't have to be shy. You can just come right out.
I mean, I liked her response.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course you did. It was what you said.
Yeah. How'd you like it? It was good.
It was good.
Yeah. It was either.
It was good. I give it a 2.
If you like, if you didn't like it, you say it was good. If you liked it, it was okay.
It was so boring.
It was okay.
7. You're like what?
It bored me to tears. I give it an 8.
Yeah.
And we're like, what?
Unless it's a war movie, and then it's like, oh my god, it was so good.
Did any of you recognize the alien?
No.
It was your friend, the FBI agent from them.
Really?
It was James Arness from them.
It was in my salad.
It was also no. Marshall Dillon from Gunsmoke. He did 19 years on Gunsmoke.
Yeah, yeah.
As Marshall nope, Dillon.
Don't know him.
I know.
So is this?
He was the head of romaine lettuce in your.
So is that what's bothering you guys? That he was basically a veg. Is that what's bothering you?
He's a
you
giant
guys?
Carrot.
He's a giant carrot. If you've never seen this movie, you're wondering why.
I really want to see this in full color, and I want to know what color he is.
It's a
plant Frankenstein.
I hope he's orange. I hope he's orange.
Listen, the great scientist Robert Cornthwaite. Explain this.
He's so great.
He is.
You know he's got the turtleneck. He must know what he's talking
about.
Yeah,
yeah. And he's got the turtleneck and the blazer with a crest on it.
And he's got the beard. He's
yeah.
got
the...
Is so it those like half turtlenecks?
He must be a professor.
So if you've never seen this movie, the thing takes place in Antarctica. There's a team of scientists up there, and they find a flying saucer crashed in the ice. It's buried in the ice.
I love how
no,
they
don't
all, like,
find it. They
spread out and
blow
see
it up.
What shape this is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You couldn't tell already.
Listen.
Yeah, the audience is way ahead of them. It's round, right? It's like flying saucer shape. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
This is 1950. It's like they're just barely
getting
the first.
But it does have a tail on it. It does have a little tail
on it.
It's got a spoiler.
Yeah, yeah, a little
fin
spoiler on the back.
Or a fin.
So they find it. They decide, you know, the military's there, so the military's like, let's burn it out of the ice. Right? That's what we'll do. So they detonate accidentally the flying saucer.
Let's blow it up.
I love it that
out of the
it's
ice.
The eggheads and the military. And
yeah.
It's like, can't we reason with it? No, let's burn it.
Yeah, the age-old battle.
Let's blow their ass out of the water. Can't we talk to it and find out if it knows something? Are you kidding me?
After we blow its brains out.
So they accidentally blow up the ship. But there is a crew member
a
from
dude.
The ship. Who is trapped in a block of ice. Mm-hmm. They bring it back to the base.
Hold on. Slow down. They bring back a giant block of ice that they would have no way of lifting themselves.
Why not? There's like 20 of them.
So that's your problem with this movie? Not life on another planet that comes to...
No, it's the giant fucking ice block on the dog
sled. It's the giant block of plastic that they push in.
That's one of Mario's lines. So your problem is they couldn't lift the ice cube. It's not that the ship landed.
It was too damn heavy.
Some carrot walks out.
The ice cube.
Yeah. That's the part that broke down for me.
That's so great. Because if you can't get beyond that, you're like, oh, I guess I can believe this carrot walking around on two legs. But
I was fine with the carrot.
But how do they pick up a block of ice? How do 20 men pick up a block of ice? It's like, okay, Patrick.
Yeah.
It was too big. That thing must have weighed like 10 tons.
I don't think anybody has ever scratched their head and went, gee, how'd they get it?
No, it was a plastic shell that went over the guy.
What I love is they go, I know, let's put an electric blanket on it.
No, they
but don't turn on the heat.
No, they didn't put an electric blanket on it. He did it because he could see the eyes through the...
Oh, that's what it
so
was.
So he threw the blanket on top of the...
Not and then thinking it was an electric blanket because there was a wire attached to it.
This movie's just a whole bunch of hijinks put together.
Yeah.
Hijinks.
It is. It's great. I love this movie.
Didn't you find it was like a white knuckler?
It's Home Alone in Antarctica.
How is it Home Alone in Antarctica?
He set up a bunch of different booby traps and try a bunch of different things to stop him from getting in the
house. They should have tried the paint can on a rope.
Yeah.
Boom! And the monster's all, oy.
So what are they supposed to do? Okay, so they're stuck there.
And Daniel Stern is the monster.
You shoot it does nothing. So now you got. Of course, you have to improvise. You got to come up with ways to
give it a cup of coffee.
Didn't that kind
of
get you going? He keeps like getting him into smaller space. Okay, now we're gonna kill the power. Now you're in a room. Now there's like no windows, and this thing's coming for you. That didn't get you.
You had one of the dumbest scientists ever.
Yeah.
Let me reason with him one last time.
Oh, I know. That guy, even the other scientists are going, really? You want to talk to him?
How can they? They're dead!
He was desperate to try to get them not to kill it.
He wants to learn from it. That's uber egghead. Mm. It's like, it's got so much to teach us. After it murders us.
This movie is obviously the age-old battle between liberals and conservatives. Those
pretty
liberal
much.
Eggheads.
Pretty much.
They just want to hug all these immigrants that are coming in. The conservatives just want to build an electrified fence.
My favorite character was the reporter, just trying to get a story.
Yeah, and he's like the third guy. He's the, what do they call the newspapers? The fourth estate?
Yeah, of course.
So he's us. Guy. Yeah.
He's us.
He just wants to know.
He's also he was also the Norwegian farmer in Shane.
That's right.
He was also the Norwegian farmers in Shane.
This
movie is just chock full of character actors.
Oh my God. All the scientists, you got George Fenneman
from You Bet Your Life.
And you got Paul Frees.
That's right. Did you recognize Paul Frees, guys?
The voice of the Haunted Mansion? Yeah. As soon as he starts talking, you go, hey, it's the ghost host. It's Boris Badenoch.
Did you not enjoy the idea that he was growing baby aliens? And when they put the stethoscope up, he could hear them crying and they were drinking blood.
He feeds them blood and they're like, oh my God, these things are getting stronger.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
And then
I thought it was kind of like the way they made the plant kind of breathe.
Yes.
Yeah, the practical effects were cool.
That was the best part.
Kind of creepy, yeah.
I liked when they, because considering it's the 50s, I mean, that's pretty impressive for a lot of the practical effects.
What about when they slam the door and the freaking thorns come off his feet, come flying off his fingers?
Yeah.
I liked when they electrify him and he slowly shrinks and shrivels.
Like a veggie would.
Yeah.
See?
And, you know, they do the right thing. He's always kind of in the shadows. You never see exactly what he looks like because that would be dumb. If he came walking.
There's one scene, like, towards the end, you see him completely and you're just like, meh.
Well,
but if it was in the daylight, it would be like, okay.
Here's what you got to do with a lot of these old movies. You got to set your TV. You got to set your TV to cinema mode and you got
to
turn off all the lights. Because these movies were never meant to be seen in like the high resolution that we have now. They were never meant to be seen.
Actually, a movie like this, which is a lot of it's in the shadows, it really is great to turn off the lights and just make it high contrast. Yeah,
and you kind of need that.
Yeah,
they were never meant to watch some of these movies.
That's true. And you don't have a pause button. You're just watching it, and you're like, okay, what is that thing? You know,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I still
find it suspenseful. I've seen it a million times. I've seen the remakes. I still think this one works because they just start ratcheting up the suspense. Like, okay, we all got to get to the other half of the base. Okay, now we got to get in this room. Mm-hmm. Oops, he's killed the power. It just seems like he turns off the oil.
He's smart. He kills the dogs.
And then they've also got to battle this scientist. You know, it's like, Jesus, what's he doing? He's hiding bodies and feeding the plants blood. Mm-hmm. It's like, we got to keep our eye out for this guy because he's going to end up helping the monster.
The dog falling out didn't give you a jump scare?
No.
Now, what Patrick said about it being, what would you say, Franken...
Plant Frankenstein.
There is a scene where he jumps through the window and they are using the Karloff scream from one of the Frankenstein movies.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
See, you were right.
If you listen, did you hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He sounds like a Chewbacca.
It's. They said, what can we get for that scream? They said, hey, how about Karloff?
Well, I love that no matter how dire the situation is, there's always time for snappy dialogue.
Yes.
Well, that's a Howard Hawks production, which means however tense the situation is, people are wisecracking.
Yeah.
They're all cracking wise, especially the reporter. And that kind of works, because mm-hmm. that's kind of what you do in that situation. You'd be like...
Jake's awfully quiet right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Jake, what did you think, mm-hmm. man?
It was all right. It was pretty good.
You guys are so disappointed right now.
There was even a little bit of bondage in this movie.
Yeah,
just a little. Just a little bit.
I know, he's all, oh, you're just an hour to cut that out. It's like, she's all, how about if I tie you up and give you a kiss?
Yeah, how about
that? And everyone's all, what kind of movie is this?
There's a lot of movies, there's a lot of references to men making like octopuses this.
I know. That's so.
This season. This
and she's
episode.
Like getting a revenge. I mean, there's all that talk at the beginning. It's like, what happened between these two last time they went out, you know? And she's like getting a revenge. Like, okay, I'm going to tie you up and then I'm going to.
All right. Let me see if I can find this here real quick.
Are you finding it on IMDb?
You know what? We didn't even look.
I know.
Let's look. The Thing, Thing from Another World from 1951, directed by Christian Nyby, produced by Howard Hawks, written by Howard Hawks, Charles Lederer, and Ben Hecht. Wow, that's quite a...
Those are heavyweights. Yeah. And those guys, you know... It's got Hawks' imprint all over it.
Anyone want to guess the Rotten Tomatoes score on this?
7.1.
Rotten Tomatoes is percentage.
I'm going to guess they're giving it like a 95.
IMDb 7.1.
87.
87? 86. 86, Sandy?
I already looked it up, so I'm not going to
Okay. guess. What do you say, Jake?
75.
95.
88.
Okay.
Damn.
88 miles an hour.
IMDb 7.1.
Trying to do Price is Right rules.
IMDb 7.2.
Damn.
Justine wins.
This is early. As far as Aliens from Another Planet, this is really early. There's not too many things before this. I think there's The Man from Planet X and...
Carrots from Another Planet.
But you can't get beyond that, can you? And there are some people in your camp. They're like, I don't know. He's a carrot walking around. I can't get scared. You know?
It's their fault for saying he was a carrot.
Well, that's what makes it intriguing. It's a plant. They're not saying he's a carrot. It's more like a plant life, you know, from another planet.
The guy said it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a carrot. And then I was like, oh. And then it just stuck in my head.
No, he says, he tells him.
They make a joke about
it. The way the scientist says is basically like, yeah, he's a carrot because you're dumb and can't get past it.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll say carrot for you because you're an idiot. But
sounds about right.
to those of you who are enlightened and can get beyond something like that, you'll probably give this movie a higher score, is what the professor was saying. Mm-hmm.
This is the same professor that tried to reason with the monster.
That's also awful specific, yeah.
Yeah. He just wants to know what's going on, man, of course. Why wouldn't you try to reason with it?
Hey, you want to get bitch slapped across the face? Go for it.
You know a lot. He just had a broken collarbone. He's fine. It's in the name of science.
I like at the end when Scotty says, and you know, one of them got injured, you know, trying to, you know, and they go, good for you, Scotty.
Yeah, yeah, he was.
You know, you didn't like say, this asshole tried to
yeah,
put our lives in danger.
And then he said, keep watching the skies, which was the name of
that documentary.
Well, yeah. It was also the name of Close Encounters. That's what Close Encounters was originally going to be called.
That is a hell of an ending.
Keep watching the skies,
because
guys.
It's like, you know, this is like maybe the first of a whole bunch of them.
Let's rank it so we can get on to the other disappointing scores I'm sure I'm going to get for the next movie as well.
I don't think we got in detailed...
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's going on, Justine?
I got some details.
I knew enough to just skip over her.
Well, you got to do it.
No, John. I don't. What's up?
Maybe she loved it.
She did. The ending's a good part.
Yeah, the ending's good.
Because the whole radio part, everything, like that's pretty creepy.
What's that now?
That was the creepiest part.
With the fire? Yeah, setting him on fire and all that?
Well, no, when they're like talking over the radio, that's in the end, isn't it? Or am I thinking of War of the Worlds? There's a part where they just keep talking to people and like what's going on.
Was it in color?
That's War of the Worlds.
Oh, my bad.
Was it in color?
Oh, I don't have anything good to say about this movie.
Wow.
You were right. I'm
kidding. You guys already talked about what I liked. It was
the
plant part. Yeah. Where it starts moving.
Yes.
I was impressed with
the
that.
The practical effects.
Oh, with the stethoscope.
This,
right? Breathing. Yeah.
I was impressed. I was like, wow, they can do that?
They're drinking blood.
And getting stronger.
That always freaked me out as
And they're replicated. You know?
The ones closest to the plasma are...
How about the scene where they got the Geiger counter and they're going, he's closer, closer, and you can hear him coming toward the door and you're like, shit.
And what did they steal
that
from?
He's like point four. He's close, but he's not that
close. And they're
like,
kill the lights. Here he comes.
What did they steal that from?
I don't know.
Alien.
Ah. There's Alien. A lot of this was taken for Alien. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alien and Aliens. They use that.
That's true. You see the dot when they're reading it coming down the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you pumped?
Are we doing scores?
We're doing scores.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a 10 just to throw everybody off. I'm just kidding.
But what do you actually score?
It's high. This is one of my favorites. This is one of my dad's favorite movies.
Is that right?
My dad saw this in the theater, maybe around here somewhere, probably the warden.
Really?
And he said a lady passed out in the theater when the dog popped out of the thing.
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
So I cordially invite everyone except John. Here are your engraved invitations, and if you look at them, they say, suck it, right on. So, yep.
It
should be engraved on a carrot.
You don't know everybody's score yet.
That's true. I'm just mad that
you're
everybody...
You're preemptively telling people
well,
to suck
it. Well,
because
you guys came in here with a little bit of a downer attitude that I don't like.
I didn't catch that.
It was only me.
Oh. I know, he kept saying that. I'm like, you must have caught something I didn't catch. Have you already been inside?
That's what she said.
Whoa. That was the name of this movie originally. Has he already been inside?
Well, that's the story of the pilot and the secretary.
That's not it. I know.
Mm.
I love it at the end. Hey, his colleagues are. Hey, think they got married? It's like, wow, you guys have been locked up.
Oh,
too long.
I know what I was going to ask you guys. Yes. What did you guys think of not you, John? Were you guys okay with the way that basically the women were portrayed in this movie? How did you feel about that?
I mean, it's their time, so there's not much to say.
I mean, she's kind of tough for 1950.
I felt like she was very progressive, and she was not like I liked that she didn't need to be rescued.
That's true.
And then she kept going in, like, she was already in the room with it. He's like, here, stand behind this mattress, we're going to light it on fire. And they literally throw gas on her. They're like kerosene.
She is better than the other girl in the other movie, War of the Worlds.
Oh, yeah. See, that's a very 50s.
And also more effective than the girl from Them. I thought she was kind of, this one was pretty tough.
Yeah.
You know?
She has to be. She's surviving with like 20 other dudes in Antarctica by herself.
That's right.
Imagine what she's having to fend off.
She's like, you know what? The carrot's a pushover. These guys.
No, but she's living with the scientists, not with the...
That's true.
You thought
that's
the true. Dogs were bad.
So aside from Tex, I don't think there's anybody really...
But I mean, living on that base, that's got to be pretty tough. You know?
I'm sure they interact. There's not a lot of people there.
She's like, hey, this is pretty good. One girl, eight guys.
But they have a lady scientist, too.
A lady scientist.
I was impressed with that, actually. Yeah. I was like, I'm surprised they even put a lady here as a scientist.
No, she lived.
She made it?
Yeah. Oh. Only two of the scientists die. You never know which ones they are. Because
Egghead.
Egghead one, egghead two.
Let's see. Goatee, egghead.
Maybe it would have been better if he wasn't wearing like a silver jumpsuit. You think that would have been better?
Was it silver?
I could get behind it more.
Yeah, that is close with black.
What if it was a carrot? It just had like the
carrot top.
I mean, this is just VeggieTales.
VeggieTales had a overtly Christian theme. This did not have an overtly.
It wasn't overtly.
If
Christian.
Anything,
it
this was.
It was Christian.
VeggieTales.
It was straight up Christian.
It is a Christian show.
Oh, he had that arc light at the end. He says, "You know, a man named Noah built an ark to save mankind with an arc of electricity."
Yeah.
A band of hardy.
Great writing, Scotty.
Good for you, Scotty.
Yeah, let's go easy on that. Huh? Let's go. Let's take it down.
Like, jeez.
Yeah. Take it down, William R. Murrow.
This is his moment. He's been trying to tell his story.
I know through the whole movie, he's all, God, everyone's going to have this story before me, and I'm right in the middle of it. Yeah. It's like, come on.
All right. Let's score it up. Jake?
I say as good as Dora the Explorer.
Very nice.
Seven. Yeah.
Justine?
All right. I give it a four.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Patrick.
You can tell by how long she sighed it was going to be for. Yeah.
Here's the wind up, and there's the pitch.
I give it a 9. I loved it.
Hey!
This was a great movie.
Go,
I had
bump.
So See, much fun.
Why don't you say that at the start?
Because I like to watch you sweat.
I don't sweat.
God, it was such a fun movie. Just watching this whole thing, like I was enthralled the whole time. I got over the ridiculousness, no problem. The ice block drove me crazy through the whole movie, but besides that, I had so much fun.
I like how you noticed it right away. This is good. This is what he did. He's a pro. He waits till he knows he's going to have his moment. We're not going to interrupt him. And then he's like, listen, bitches, I like this movie.
It was
thumbs up.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Way to steal it. I like it. I can't even be mad at you right
now. I know, it's the greatest.
It was so good. Like, even the monster was scary. Like, when he pops up the first time you see him, and like, yes, he's vegetarian Frankenstein, but still, he was creepy with those claws, like, seeing it move and everything. The practical effects were amazing.
The,
For 50, yeah.
This was impressive. It
yeah,
was a
they
good
pick
movie.
Up an arm, they're just like,
yeah, and it moves.
Yeah. Shit's moving. What I love about it, this is a movie I like to turn on. I always feel good watching it. It makes me not feel good, but it has a sense of that, like you said, John. There's a sense of claustrophobia about it.
Yeah,
and you're in this giant wide open space that is Antarctica, but you're trapped in where you're at.
There's nowhere to go.
You can't run out the door.
Nope.
Anywhere else, this was genius, because anywhere else, you're like, well, we'll just run. No, because you are in Antarctica.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go.
Pretty good.
And he's getting you room by room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love this movie. I'll watch it, like, sometimes late at night. I like to watch it when it's like a dark and stormy
night. Sure.
Let's throw on The Thing from Another World.
Right from the shoulder. Credits.
Hey, you want to watch something kinky?
There you go. There's bondage in it. Yes. Make them watch this movie.
I know, it's like, really? That scene?
Sandy?
7.5.
Wow, you really liked it?
Mm-hmm.
What did you enjoy about it?
It was just fun.
Trapping the settings. It's a very quick movie. It's very...
Yeah, hour 23. Yeah.
87 minutes.
87. I just like how clever they were, too, with the electricity. They're just like, yeah, fuck it, it'll work.
And you know who comes up with that is You Bet Your Life. It's like, well, yeah. Just fry it
up. I love
up.
That. You know who comes up with that? You Bet Your Life.
When I saw him, I was like, hey, he always looks so familiar every time I watch it. And I never realized it was the same guy.
I love that.
He was Groucho's sidekick on TV for years.
And he's always the straight man.
Yeah.
You know? He's always Groucho's cracking wise, and he's all, okay, on to the next contestant. You know?
I thought for a second they made a TV joke when he says, electricity, that's my line. I thought it was, I was like, was he on What's My Line? But it was You Bet Your Life.
That would have been great.
John, what do you give it?
I give it a 9.
Yeah.
I love it. It's one of the all-time great sci-fi movies. And even though it's been remade many times, this is really pretty tough to beat.
I'm going to give it a 5, but
the old switcheroo.
Don't say that. She'll actually put that.
Cool.
What do you really
Moving
give
on.
It?
I give it a 9. This there is you Are go. You kidding?
High five.
This is almost perfection.
It was good.
I love Except that. For Jake.
What?
I was expecting you to love this movie.
Well, you gave it a 7, right?
I gave it a 7.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's better than a 4.
But, yeah, it is way better.
It also it might not have helped that I watched this when I was already really tired and I knocked out and I had to rewatch the rest of it.
We don't want to hear that, do we? I kind of slept through half of it. Oh, don't tell us.
I didn't
us
watch
that.
Any of these
I
movies.
Start, no, I started up where I stopped. I remember where I stopped.
What's up, buddy? What were you going to say?
I finished Sierra Madre, but we'll talk about it later.
Did you love it?
We'll talk about it later.
All right, here we go. Here's our next. Wait, I'm learning. Biggest story that could ever happen to our world.
In a movie.
Filling the screen with a mighty panorama of earth-shaking fury. I'll read it to you guys. Paramount's War of the Worlds.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. For what men first thought were meteors or the often ridiculed flying saucers are in reality the flaming vanguard of the invasion from Mars.
Looks like they're going to come out of that gully pretty soon. We'll have to rush our defenses to be ready when they do.
The guard can need plenty of reinforcements.
We'll get them. Lieutenant, look!
They slash across country like scythes, wiping out everything that's trying to get away from them.
That explains why communication is cut the moment their machines begin moving.
Montreal's blacked out. Nothing more has come through.
Same thing that happened on the Pacific coast. Anything from them yet?
No, Mr. Secretary. We've had nothing from San Francisco for over 5 hours.
The nations of the world mobilize their armed might, rushing to defend the Earth against the unknown weapons of the super race from the Red Planet. Is there nothing that can stop the Martian death machines?
Guns, tanks, bombs. They're like toys against them.
We know now that we can't beat their machines. Got to beat them.
All over the world, human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies, whom no one has ever seen. Panic that sweeps around the globe as the great masses of mankind flee blindly in a headlong stampede of hysteria.
Two years in the making. H.G. Wells' most famous and fantastic story comes to the screen. produced by George Pal, who gave us Destination Moon and When Worlds Collide, in color by Technicolor. Paramount's War of the Worlds, directed by Brian Haskin. There we go.
Rated PG.
Let's talk about it, guys. You heard a lot of you guys would be screwed living where you live.
Why?
Because that came down right between...
Pomona.
Like right around Pomona.
Yeah. Was it Pomona or Brea?
Well, here's what we were...
It's in the foothills of, here, by me.
Here's what, here's what we were talking about. It's 12 miles from the point from they say... I forgot what it is. It comes down... Because the fire watch is in Big Bear. They're in like Pine Summit, which is Big Bear. And they said it's 12 miles from Big Bear. But then when they see it in the mountains, they're like, it's halfway to Pomona. And then they're talking about Carbon Canyon when they're first doing the military thing. So me and my brother were like, this has to be like Chino or Brea. Like, right? And then they're talking about, you've got to go north of Highway 60, which is now the 60 freeway. Mm-hmm. So what we were saying is they're probably screenwriters in L.A. And anything outside of like L.A. is just like, they're just like, yeah, whatever. It's all the same out there.
Right.
But yeah.
Everything past the 101. It's like, hey,
it's got to be like... I'm thinking like Riverside. I was looking at those hills, and I'm like, that kind of looks like around Riverside.
But they also talk about when they dropped the A-bomb, it's a nest that fell on the Puente Hills, so we would be screwed either way.
Yeah.
Because they're going to drop an A-bomb on the Puente Hills. So
they're heading to City Hall, and I know they're going to stop at Tommy's on the way. And they'll get indigestion, and oh my God, they're keeling over.
This is of course.
You see the ship going through the drive-thru.
This is of course a remake of the H.G. Wells novel. It's not a remake, but it's a takeoff on the H.G. Wells novel. Updating.
I think they wanted to make this as a movie ever since the Wells radio show. The Orson Welles radio show.
1938, yeah. Of course. This is from 1953.
I was just gonna ask if it was based off of that.
It is. There's a lot of similarities.
It is.
But the radio show is from the book. But yeah. Wells brought it to the current times. Mm. That was the big deal. Let's make it like it's happening today, and which is why people fell for it. You know, everything made it sound like it's happening right now. Here's the president on the radio saying, don't panic. So this movie kind of takes it even further. Okay, we'll make it like today. There's the cars and the TV.
Yeah.
The book is like 1898 or something, right?
The book is from the 1890s.
So the way that they interact with it is a little different, but because now we have modern, we have jets and things. That was the thing. Orson Welles came up with the idea that they got the fighter pilots and let's see if we can bomb it and all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This is one of those movies I waited for on TV every year. It would be on Channel 5. KTLA.
Great color.
A couple times a year. I loved it. I love every second about it. But, John, let's talk about you. How do you feel about it?
I love it. Always have. It's one of the good ones. You know, there's a handful that are really like A pictures, like, you know, like This Island Earth and Forbidden Planet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're sci-fi, but they're not like cheapo sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, paper plates spray painted blue and all that. You know?
Well, I love the effects in this movie. All of the models, everything is really
cool.
Those
are damn good effects for physical effects from the 50s. Those are damn good effects.
What do you? Whose noise was that?
I don't know.
Who was that? Hmm. What did you do?
What? Hmm?
It's both of them.
I didn't see.
What are you guys doing? What? Were you guys doing the laser noise? Is that what you guys were doing?
I heard this.
Yeah. What was that? You okay? Was somebody pooping? No. Okay. No pooping. Hmm? Please no pooping during the show. Let's talk about it. John, I'm sorry we interrupted you.
No, that's okay. I just think the effects, for the year it is, the effects are really impressive. And George Pal is always on the cutting edge, you know. The Time Machine, he did the Time Machine. And when you think about when these movies were made, he was right on the cutting edge of like physical effects. If you're going to make something appear to be hovering and firing lasers, he was the guy, you know.
This was cool because it was like one of the first movies that I remember talking about, like force fields. There's a protective blister,
yeah,
as they call it. But,
dome.
Yeah.
A dome.
There's a protective glass cover over this thing.
And they're like you put over a cake, right?
Yeah, literally it was like...
Can't you just lift it up?
And I think that's what they shot. I think they did like a double exposure of like what I
did. Yeah. It worked though.
A cake cover.
Those ships are super cool.
They are super cool. And you know, everybody had a different interpretation of what they would look like anytime they did a comic book or an illustrated version.
What was the interpretation from the actual novel? What were they described as?
They were kind of like the one
tripods
in the Spielberg movie. They were giant tripods.
Okay.
With Tom Cruise, yeah.
So they took the tripod idea. They were walking on like laser legs. I don't know if you noticed that, but you see the three beams.
It.
Yeah, they're not really floating. They're floating, but they're held up by these three beams.
In the 50s, they would have had to do stop motion animation. It would have
been too difficult.
Well, they could have, you know, Ray Harryhausen probably could have done it, but it wouldn't have looked as cool as floating. Really. Also, the big deal back then was the flying saucers. So they said, let's just make them look like flying saucers.
I read a little bit about it, and they color corrected it sometime. They didn't color correct it. When they started striking off prints for TV, instead of using the Technicolor print, the original, they started going with another print that was cheaper, and that's when you started to see all the wires.
Oh.
And so,
that's the one I saw.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah, that's the one I saw,
yeah. The one we all saw.
I saw every single wire.
Yeah, because they remastered it a couple of years ago, and that one they went back and cleaned up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They went back to the original coloring on it, and it's hard to catch that. Because I was looking. Because every time I saw it on TV, you could see the wires. And I
must have a good copy, because I was thinking, nah, it looks like, I don't know how they're doing it, but it looks pretty good.
Yeah, they re-released it recently with like the correct color, with like color corrected. And it was back to being, you know.
Yeah.
Especially with all the smoke, it's like clear as day. You can see every single wire that it's being held up by.
That's a bummer.
So you also noticed every time it was green screen too. It was really kind of.
Yeah, the new one I have is pretty good. It's a really good. They went back and redid it.
Yeah.
In the original color, so it looks pretty good. That's a bummer.
That's a shame. That was kind of one of my little gripes about it. Is that.
That's
I could see every single wire every
there
time.
There was I think my original DVD copy was like that. And then when they put it out on Blu-ray,
sure.
It was last year.
Yeah, when they redid it in Blu-ray, it was like a 50th anniversary. No, that would have been, I don't know what it was. 65th maybe? 65th, yeah. Something like that. And they're like, you know, I was like, oh, I'll get this one. And that's the one I got. And it's fantastic.
Because otherwise, Gene Barry could just say, how about we cut their wires?
Yeah.
It's like, ah, there we go.
You've got to talk like Gene Barry and over be super serious about everything.
I love it because it's definitely the Richard Carlson school of acting. You know? There's those guys, Hugh Marlowe. It's always these guys that are kind of like
talk like you're gritting through your teeth all the time.
Exactly.
Yes, I love it. We're in Corona now. Go to sleep. Say this is delicious.
Oh, you know, Spielberg put Ann Robinson, I think, in the new one as a cat.
Both of them.
Yeah,
they're both in it. They're both in it. Yeah,
that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was one of his all time favorites.
So, John, we know you love this movie, obviously. Yeah. So let's go to Jake, who'd never seen it. Aside from the wires, Jake, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, me too.
He's personally sorry.
That's the one bad about doing this thing is like some of the stuff that's available out there is not always the best. There are more than one version available. So aside from having to see all the wires, Jake, what did you think?
I mean, I saw the newer one was with Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, yeah.
Right? And I think it's a great story. I think it's really compelling and pretty terrifying that, you know, it could be a possibility.
Sure.
Or they make it seem believable enough that it seems like it could be a possibility. And yeah, solid. Even the practical effects. If I hadn't seen the wires, like they look really convincing.
Yeah,
they look really good. Apart from I think one or two scenes when it like crashes down, and it clearly looks like it's made of some sort of like really really light like material, or it just kind of goes boom.
Yeah, it's kind of like pop.
Just sort of plops down. But I mean, yeah, it was good. Even the aliens themselves, I liked the whole kaleidoscopic.
And
their
weird little suction cup hands.
Okay. Well, that last scene where it crashes down and you see the hand just 10 minutes to go like 2 inches.
And he takes his pulse.
End.
He's kind of like,
it's dead.
Pulse is kind of.
But I do like that it's pulsating and the skin gets weird.
It's dead.
Yeah. Why would you touch it? I'd be like, I'd poke it with a stick.
And how
maybe.
Would you know? These things.
You like those little sucker fingers?
Mm-hmm. Coming to get you? Yes.
I'm sure that caused a lot of screams when the one puts its hand on her shoulder when they're
in the
house. Yeah. It's like it taps his shoulder.
Yeah,
Justine, they do everything in threes.
Justine doesn't like those scenes because they're so.
No, I thought you know when people go like this,
yeah.
And then they turn their head and they get poked in the face.
Oh yeah,
I'm like, oh, he could totally do that to her
with the suction cups.
Yeah. But it sticks to her. It sticks to her.
Do a Buster Bluth, hey brother, and just like put the hand
hey,
on the shoulder.
Hey
Hermano,
gonna do a wet willy.
Oh yeah, with the suction cup.
Ah,
that's how I thought when I saw that.
What if he put the suction cup to her ear and just pulled her brain out?
Whoa,
that would be good.
That would be trippy.
That's some real horror right there.
Yeah, it's funny. In the '50s, they're not thinking of that. How about they?
Well, because in the Spielberg one, aren't they using? They're using the people for food, right?
What's the Spielberg one?
It was 2000.
Tom Cruise.
The one where Dakota Fanning does not stop screaming for 2 hours.
I think so.
Tom Cruise is the.
I never
hero.
Saw it. But
that's the closest to the book yet.
Yeah, because I think they're using the people for food.
They're harvesting.
They're harvesting people.
I do vaguely remember someone being put into a blender and there's a lot of Blood spray.
Yeah, they're like drinking the blood. They're living off of blood.
Because Spielberg said we can finally do it exactly like the book.
From Another World.
What exactly? No. They want our blood.
That's what it is.
I thought the Spielberg version was pretty sharp.
The Spielberg version, I really like the Spielberg version. That one is really
good. That's the one where Tim Robbins comes out as like a conspiracy. He's got a bunker and he's hiding in there. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Except Dakota Fanning doesn't stop screaming. That's the only bad part about it. Like screaming.
This girl didn't stop screaming.
Screaming.
Like we're talking like King Kong screaming.
Yeah. I like when he says, "Let's see what was so interesting about you," and he sticks the camera in her face and her eyeballs get all big. She's like,
why is she so scared?
We gotta deny them our essence.
Oh, these guys want our essence.
Yeah, she looks really weird in that.
Sandy, did you enjoy this? We talked a little bit about it. You said you got to a certain point and then you just didn't care anymore. You stopped caring.
Yeah. I thought it started off very strong.
Mm-hmm.
I was very intrigued. I thought they did a great job with the special effects. And then I think when they started focusing on the couple, I was just like,
yeah.
I don't care anymore. She's annoying. He's annoying too.
I can kind of see that.
And it's probably not in the book. The love interest is not in the book.
By the way, Dr. Clayton Forrester is the name of the mad scientist who gives the bots their experiment on Mystery Science Theater 3000. That's who they took the character from, Dr. Clayton Forrester. Oh. Some kind of protective blister.
Let's not keep running from the aliens. Let's have a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Here's a cup of coffee. Before I set another scent man on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have another cup of coffee. Let's have another piece of pie.
There you go, John. I like you. Justine, what did you think? You loved it.
I love the part when he's going into the city and they start taking over the cars. I felt like that was pretty realistic if people were trying to get out of the city.
Like that's exactly what would happen.
Yeah, and he's like, no, those things are important. I'm like, oh my God, they are. And like... But they just kept throwing it aside. I felt really bad for him, but
oh my God,
I felt like that was probably the
don't
most.
Bet.
That was the
those
most
are mine.
Realistic part to me in that
not
movie.
My beakers.
Stop it.
Not my test tubes.
You guys suck.
That's gonna
they
be
cut their own throats. I like when he yells at the MPs. The fools, they cut their own throats. The MPs are like, whatever, dude.
He's nuts. Get in the car. Yeah.
But the other part when they're, it's him and the girl and they surrounded him and then you see the thing come in and its head pops up. Yeah. That was pretty legit. I believe
that looked pretty good.
Yeah, I was like, wow, I didn't know they can make things like that.
It's a good vacuum cleaner.
The noise, that pulsing, that rattlesnake noise.
That was annoying. I'm like,
no. The sound design of this movie is really cool. Yeah.
Right before you get blasted into oblivion.
Oh, you get disintegrated.
Yep.
I just didn't like when they showed the lights and it just shows the three colors. I'm like, that's lame. I wish I didn't saw that light.
Which one?
The way they see the eye socket.
When they take it over to the scientists and they try to
you actually
make
see
it work,
the light.
See what they see.
And it looks stupid. I don't know.
Do you remember the old widescreen TVs with the projector? Like
yeah, exactly.
That's what it looks like. It's three colors on a dial.
That's exactly what it is.
So you look at this and go, wow, that's just like those old
TVs. And if they were off a little bit,
yeah.
That's exactly what would happen.
The earliest widescreen TVs.
Mm-hmm. They were projectors.
It was a projection system, yeah.
And it was lousy resolution.
Yeah. That's all we had.
Patrick?
So I've listened to the original radio broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Everyone should.
I went on a long drive, listened to the thing. That is scary.
How long is it?
That's what she said.
It's an hour.
It's about an hour, yeah.
They run it every Halloween.
Yeah.
There's a radio station that plays it every Halloween.
Yeah, it's a scary... Like, to actually hear that on the radio, like, if you had been around that time, it probably would have scared the crap out of it. It scared the crap out of a lot of people.
They believed it entirely out of context.
Yeah.
You know they did it recently and people believed it again?
No, just the 30s. It was like 38.
NPR did a story on that.
Oh, is that right?
They've repeated it like three times and people have believed it.
Oh, is that right? When they rerun it, people believe it.
No, they redo something like... Oh. I think it's the same story, but...
I think you're right. I think Whittier College
even... They update
it. They just update it and re-air.
Everyone in the town believes it and they all start going as chaos.
No kidding.
It was a whole city.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I think now you'd think that every 10
that's
minutes...
That's pretty
that's
fucked up.
That's what the guy said in NPR. They're like, do you think people wouldn't believe it now.
Leave it to NPR to fuck
that's
with
so
people.
Fucked up.
So they did that so NPR didn't do it. Some guy did it.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome.
But they did the story of like, they talked about that would happen. And then they go and they're like, you'd think people wouldn't fall for it. And they did it again. And then someone else did it again. But that was a more recent one. I just forgot.
Interesting.
The year.
Because the thing with the original was that they didn't interrupt the broadcast. They interrupted once.
Yeah.
They said at the beginning, this is, you know, War of the Worlds. And then
Mercury Theater presents.
Most people tuned in late because they were listening to Charlie McCarthy, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Yeah.
So they tuned in late. The first commercial, everyone turned the dial. They're already right into it. And it took them like about 20 minutes to say, you are now listening to. No commercials, so there's no reason to think that isn't happening. You know?
Yeah.
So you'd think that if they're going to recreate it, they'd do it like every 10 minutes. Okay, this is the right, this is the fake.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it.
No, the guy just did it again.
He got in trouble.
He got in a lot of trouble.
He did.
People got mad.
I'm going to look that up. That's fascinating. Too. Really?
I love it.
Wow. Because there was a whole book on why the original people fell for it. And they say up to like that time, late 30s, nobody had ever done anything on the radio that would give you any reason to believe it wasn't true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then nobody ever did anything phony, and it was like your sole source of information aside from the newspaper. You just said, okay, if it's on the radio, it's happening.
And it was great because I love that Orson Welles denied it, but you know he did it on purpose.
Sure.
he always denied
it. Oh, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, they said that his best acting of his career was when they did that press conference the next day. He's got this look on his eyes. We never in a million years would have believed that anybody would believe such a thing as aliens from the planet. I'm sorry. And they said he was acting his ass off because they were going to put him in jail.
As he winks at the camera.
Yeah.
So, how about that?
Yeah, yeah.
But they said they were getting ready to put him in jail for causing a disturbance.
Massive hysteria.
I love it.
Acting his ass off to get out of it.
Patrick, what did you think of the movie?
It was a fun movie. The story, I definitely think the original radio broadcast is a lot scarier. This one, it's good. It's just some of the special effects kind of got to me. I think the copy we all watched was a little bit unfortunate.
I'll lend you my copy.
It's still nice to see that like it's such an unstoppable force. Like no matter what they do, they can't do anything. It can't stop it. It's going to destroy us, and then it just happens to be chance that we survive.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like us.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was fun. Not my favorite, but it wasn't bad. And then the whole time I'm watching it, the whole war planning scene. In the back of my mind, I'm just thinking, somewhere in the corner of that room is Dr. Strangelove about to get out of his wheelchair.
Yeah.
I have a plan!
Yeah.
A doomsday device.
I do like, one of my favorite things about this movie are the sound effects.
The effects were cool. Like, besides the super visible stuff that, like, the wires and stuff that you see in, like, the jar, it was still a cool, you know, idea and a cool concept. I mean, it's unfortunate that it hasn't held up in, you know, the copies we've seen.
I'm going to kill you. All right.
I just think I think the versions we watched were completely different.
Listen.
In their mastering.
It's data, dude.
Dramatic.
Listen to that.
I know. What is that, 53?
What, if you heard that coming outside down the street, you don't think you'd be freaking out?
Love it.
What is that, 1953?
Yes.
A pre-Star Wars? That's...
I like that they use the same ray gun sound in Mars Attacks.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
All the special effects in the world can't fix that woman's screams.
I know. Which woman screams?
Oh, is it Anne Robinson?
Wait, wait, wait. You want to hear Ben's screams? Go watch Shane.
Wait, hold on. We're going to hear the protective blister.
It'll make you want to scream.
They're bouncing off the cake domes, guys. Oh, I love this. I'm going to go home and watch this again.
I actually want to watch the Tom Cruise one to see how different it is. I don't remember it.
They put out some sort of electromagnetic covering, a protective blister.
It's 50.
They put on some sort of electro.
50 science, guys.
And it'll keep your birthday cake fresh for the next day.
Let's rank it.
You know, what's funny is her screams are almost as loud as the lasers. It's like, wait a minute. We can channel it. Maybe if we could throw her screams at them.
That's the whole point.
Maybe if we can amplify her screams, we can destroy their electromagnetic field.
That's the plot of Mars Attacks,
Les
guys.
Tremaine. That's right. It's Slim Whitman, right?
That's it.
Yodeling. That's genius.
Love it. What do you rank it? John, go ahead. Give it that 10.
I give it a 9. It's a 9. It's solid.
All right.
Yeah.
Jake?
I give it an 8.
That's a good score. Huh?
Had I seen the version that you have, and I wouldn't see the wires.
I mean, you see them, but they're not like There's some versions out there where they are pronounced like
the VHS.
Yeah. So maybe just after I saw it, I was paying more attention. But especially through the smoke, it's just like wire.
Okay.
Yeah. 8.
6.
Sandy gives it a 6, but that's good for a movie you only half liked. Yeah. So it would have been a 12 if you would have liked the whole thing. That's pretty good. Yeah. Justine.
I give it a 5.
Justine, did we talk about how you like this movie? Whether you like
it? That's the only part
I liked.
She
loved one part.
Was when they start going after the trucks.
That's right, that's right.
She loved
two parts. You didn't like the part where they were making bacon in the farmhouse in Corona?
No.
They were in Corona.
Bacon in some sunny side up eggs?
With 12 eggs.
I love the scene where he's like, the skies will be filled with jets in a moment. There they are! I love that. It's like, whoa, easy, buddy.
But first a little breakfast.
But first a little breakfast.
7.5.
Yeah, Patrick, first, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's
not
solid. Bad at all. I didn't hate it.
War of the Worlds, this is like an 8 for me. It's an 8. Yeah, this is an 8. All right, guys.
Had Justine loved two scenes in this movie, she would have given it a 10.
It's time for the movie that's gonna get unanimous 10s. Let's talk about it, guys. All right, you ready? Scanning the room. Marilyn Monroe, Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon, George Raft.
Not since Scarface, so much action. Not since the Marx Brothers, so much comedy. Not since the 7-Year Itch, so much Marilyn. The best picture this year will also be the funniest.
Good night, sugar.
Good night, honey.
There's one thing sure, boy never met girl like this before. You've never laughed more at sex or a picture about it.
Stay here as long as you like.
Jack may have beaten Tony to the sugar, but not for long.
You're not voice. Giving yourself a chance. Don't fight it. Relax.
Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
And her bosom companions. Tony Curtis.
Pretty subtle, huh?
And Jack Lemmon. George Raft. Pat O'Brien. Joey Brown.
And Mike
Here
Mizark.
Marilyn sing the fabulous songs of the Roaring Twenties on the United Artists soundtrack album.
Running wild, lost control. Running
I loved her on Gilligan's Island.
Mighty bold, feeling gay, reckless too. Carefree mind all the time, never blue. Always going, don't know
I believe
where.
Jack Lemmon playing the bass. I really did.
I don't care.
I bought it.
I love the faces he makes when he's playing the bass.
It's not worthwhile.
If you didn't love Jack Lemmon before.
Oh, boy.
Right? Yeah. We all loved him from The Odd Couple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
this is like 8 years before The Odd Couple.
And what I love about this movie is he basically steals the whole movie. Yeah. He really does. Well, him and Joey Brown. Joey Brown really does it.
Yeah.
Mama doesn't like it when I...
It's but I agree with you, but I always tell people what Tony Curtis is doing is more subtle. The whole Cary Grant shtick on the yacht is genius.
I love Tony. He's great.
He was good.
He's less flashy, but that whole thing where he's doing he's really selling it, you know. Oh, I felt a little warmth around my toes, you know. Better try it again, you know.
My heart is cold. So, I feel nothing.
So, yeah.
Try again.
What does he say? He's like taking someone who's tone deaf to a concert.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what a great line. What had anyone seen this before aside from myself and John?
Nope.
Yeah, this is Some Like It Hot from 1959.
Some it was Like It Real Hot.
Directed and written by Billy Wilder. And written by Billy Wilder, and IAL Diamond is his longtime writing partner. This is 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. So that's what we're dealing with. So just remember that when you're going to come at me with your bullshit. All right?
Wow.
You're assuming.
Released in March 1959. So starring Marilyn Monroe, Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon, a bunch of other people. Joey Brown.
All those gangsters are great.
Yeah.
You know?
George Raft.
Mike Mizerky. And all the George Raft stuff.
What is it? Henry Wilson? who was the bless you. He was the "You killed the spider. You killed him."
What I love is
"You killed the wicked witch."
He's all, "We're with you at Rigoletto's, boss."
Yeah. If you don't, you recognize him from Wizard of Oz going, "You killed her. You killed the witch.
Hail Dorothy.
Hail Dorothy." Yeah. Guys, let's talk about it. Who had seen it? Who had not seen it?
Talk to somebody who hasn't seen it before.
Patrick is making a face that I can't figure out what.
I know. It's
aside from the music. Aside from the music.
He doesn't like jazz.
There's only one ragtime song in there. Really?
The rest of it's got
But you don't care, you don't care for that era, right?
There's only one ragtime song.
Yeah.
And I hate this era.
You'd love this era. It's 1929.
Okay, but beyond the era.
I hate this era.
I know, but beyond that.
Yeah, but what? What do you think?
But they're really not in the era that much.
This movie had me crying.
Yes!
Yeah.
I died of laughter.
There you go.
AFI did a few years ago rank it the number one comedy of all time.
I could not stop laughing from start to finish. It was hilarious.
There you go.
It was such a wonderful movie. Jack Lemmon completely steals this movie. Him in the millionaire playboy.
Joey Brown.
Just, I was dying.
Zowie.
And then the last line of the movie just had me in tears because I could not stop laughing.
Is that the greatest ending for a comedy of all time?
Not everybody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect. No.
And the look on Jack Lemmon's face. Yeah. He has like a triple take. He's all...
He's like, well, fuck it. I guess I'm getting married.
Well, he wanted to because he knew he was going to get taken care of. That's such a great plan. We'll get married. We'll annul it. And then he'll owe me all this alimony. Yeah.
You know, you're talking about how much you were laughing at it. And Billy Wilder had to space lines out for that. The thing with the maracas when he's talking about how they're going to get married. And Jack Lemmon said, why am I doing all this stuff with the maracas? He said, because you're going to get all this laughter and you have to space it out or else they're going to miss the next line.
Jack Lemmon's just nuts. Oh, my God.
But why would a guy want to marry a guy? For security.
Yeah. I loved this movie.
My wife and I were laughing at how much we're just like, Jack Lemmon looks like he's having the time. Like
he's
Tony
having
Curtis,
so much fun.
Tony Curtis
he looks like
more...
he just got proposed to.
That's why it's so good is he's having so much fun both in the movie itself as his character and then just him acting. He's having so much fun doing it.
Tony Curtis definitely comes out of his shell. No pun intended, when he's doing the Cary Grant. He doesn't look as comfortable doing the drag stuff.
No.
And Jack Lemmon just sells it.
But you know what? Somebody's got to be the straight man.
Yeah.
So he kind of plays it straight. And then once he starts playing the millionaire on the yacht, this is his moment to shine.
Yes.
Because he's like a heat-seeking missile. He's going.
My favorite line of his is when he says, when he tells the little kid, "There's not room on this beach for two of us, Buster. Scram." Just get out.
Oh, the other scene I love is
shell collection.
When he gets out of the bathtub and he's fully dressed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Take it easy, Joe. Take it easy. And he just grabs him. Jesus.
I love it.
This was such... I was crying.
It's a good one.
And as far as the music goes, I actually really liked it.
What I love about...
it didn't bother me at all.
What I love about them is they set the scene. They do it once when they're pulling up to the hotel. They have the girls in the band singing... Among the Sheltering Palms. And then when they're down at the beach, they're singing By the Sea. Yeah. I thought that was a nice touch to have the girls in the band do that. I thought that was really cool.
Well, you know, what Billy Wilder said years ago, he said that to make it believable, he said it's so outlandish. Even like in 1959, it was already kind of a hackneyed plot to, you know, dress up like a girl for some reason. He said we had to really present very sharply what danger they were in.
Yeah.
There's a blizzard. Mobsters are after them. There's no way out of town. They are just dead meat. They are witnesses to the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yes.
He says, you have to make it look like they've got no way out except to dress as women. Then the audience will, they'll buy it for the rest of the movie. 100%. He says, unless you put them in extreme jeopardy, people go, come on. Yeah. They're not going to dress up like women. This really is like, nope, they got to. It's
they
the
have
only way.
To. There's no way out. Yeah. And they're good at it. It turns out they're good at it. Justine.
I liked it. It was good. I really like Jack Lemmon.
He's the best.
He's my favorite. I just want to hug him, cuddle up with him.
You know he's like the
I'm
fun
a boy.
Uncle.
I'm a boy. I'm a girl.
I'm a girl. That whole scene in the
when they're like blindfolded, the band is blindfolded.
Oh, when they're doing
they
the dance
dancing,
is great.
I'm like, oh, he's totally into it
now. When he's doing the the scene where he's in the berth
and he's
looking at all the girls and he's just saying good night. I'm just like, oh my God, like the way he's playing it, like so pervy, but at the same time
he's like
likable. Yeah. And that's what he talks to. He's like, I had this dream when I was a kid. I was locked in a candy store overnight.
I I love when he changes his name last minute.
Yeah, Daphne.
Daphne. I never liked
Geraldine.
Geraldine.
Yeah. Geraldine.
Daphne. Just keep telling yourself, I'm a boy.
I don't think I've ever seen a Marilyn Monroe movie before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've never been a huge fan of her.
Wait, whoa, hold on.
I've heard her talk in Seven-Year
Itch. Seven-Year Itch. Same director.
But I only saw like a little clip of it.
She's good in this.
But this is the first time I'm seeing her act, and I don't hate her. I don't like the way they wrote her, but it's fine.
But you end up feeling bad for her because she's not a gold digger at heart. She really literally just wants to be loved, and she keeps running into these guys who are jerks, and Tony Curtis has no interest in falling in love. Yeah. So it's kind of sweet the way they come together.
I mean, and mm-hmm. if it was a movie now, she would find out that she loved herself and she didn't need anything.
Yeah, of course.
And then she would totally, if it was in the 90s, she'd be pissed off that he even did that whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd have to wait that time.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then they'd make mm-hmm. up. But uh-huh. instead, she's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I love you. I'm like, okay. But I was surprised to see her in the train when she busts out that, is it ukulele?
Mm-hmm.
And she just starts singing. I'm like, wow, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's not a great singer, but she sells the lyrics.
She sings better than I do.
And she's not like
that's not hard.
She's not a trained vocalist, but you get the idea that, and then somehow she plays it like she's really innocent, but at the same time, she's like really, you know,
she's been
like,
around.
She's like this bombshell, but at the same time, she has like an innocence about her. Like you feel like I feel really bad for her character because I think it's really, I think they really wrote Marilyn Monroe is what they wrote.
Yeah. But there's a part where she kind of body shames herself because she doesn't have a flat chest.
Oh yeah, yeah, she does say
when
that.
When
that
happened, I was like, whoa.
But I love that Jack Lemmon just keeps staring like he never thought of it. Like no, he never thought like he thought like he doesn't. For a half second, you realize he's starting to see, oh my God, like this, it's probably not easy to be. Like, I love that whole scene.
Yeah, when he gets grabbed in the elevator. He's like, you know what it's like to do that?
So like, funny.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, she didn't want to be gold digger. I just hate that was the storyline.
Yeah.
And then she was okay with it. Like, it was, that part was just too fast for me. But I mean, I like Little Mermaid, so who am I to judge?
She was, it's because she's trying a different tack. And she talks about that whole thing about it. She says, you know, you wake up the next day and they're gone. Like, they're just gone. You know, that she's been used. Like, that's such a horrible... But I think it's very adult, like, for 1959, for them to be talking about it in, like, real terms.
But
like,
Jack Lemmon and Tony, I love them. They're great.
I love it.
I wish they'd done more movies together. They just did one more together, The Great Race.
Yeah.
And
They're opposites.
They're a great team, but they didn't do a million movies together like Matthau and Lemmon, yeah.
But it did surprise me when they go into the garage, and I'm like, they're not going to shoot them. And they did. Well, dang, they got murdered. Yeah.
Well, that was a real event. That was the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
That was genius. They really paint the picture. This is it. This is they're in the garage watching the massacre.
That really did happen.
The whole thing was spats. He's got the, you know, I saw blood on your spats. I cut myself while shaving.
Yeah.
You shave with your spats? I go to bed with my spats. And the things they kept giving George Raft to do with the grapefruit, he almost puts the grapefruit in the guy's face.
Yeah, from...
And then the flipping the coin, he's all, where'd you get that cheap trick? Those are all from gangster movies.
And George Raft, that was his thing, he would flip a coin.
In Scarface, the original Scarface, he's the guy that was flipping the coin through the whole movie. So when he comes in and grabs it, goes, where'd you get that cheap trick?
I love it. A lot of references. They
tried to get all those old-time guys. They got Pat O'Brien, they got George Raft, and they wanted Edward G. Robinson to play Little Napoleon.
Oh, instead it was Nehemiah Persaud.
Which is great. He was so good.
Happy birthday! That weird so accent he does. He's so intense.
Some people say he's gone too far, but I say you can't keep a good man down.
The movie had some cheesy parts, but I loved it. When they go into the train and they're all like, hi, all of them. I was like, are you kidding me? But it was believable.
It's great that Jack Lemmon doesn't want to do it. And then his character embraces it. Like, yeah.
So I love Jack Lemmon.
He does that little laugh when he's like, and he does that stupid little, or when he's drinking with Marilyn Monroe, he's like, it might be a surprise party.
You gotta wait till later.
He's got that smile when he's got that crazy grin. He's
like, like kind of like the Joker.
Exactly. You know, boy, would I get a cup of that sugar.
Yeah, why wouldn't? Kind of makes you sad Jack Lemmon wasn't the Joker on TV's Batman. He would have been great. Sandy, did you enjoy this one?
Absolutely loved it.
Oh, great.
It was just the right amount of ridiculous.
Yeah. They push it, but it never goes too far. You never go like, you're with them the whole way.
It's tough.
And there's there's three very different parts of the movie. You have the setup, you have everything on the train, And then everything at the resort, yeah. You know, with that ending and on the yacht. But the scenes on the yacht are great. Like Marilyn Monroe and Tony Curtis had great chemistry, I thought. I thought they really. Mm-hmm.
It was so great.
They really, it's just two good looking people. You're like, wow, you know what?
I think your glasses are fogging up. I think it's working.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy that they use Marilyn Monroe as like the original plus size?
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of cool, though. That is kind of cool to see in this day and age where you're like, where everybody has to be
she's
like.
She's really not.
She's not. She's
normal.
Yeah. No, she's a.
Totally normal.
Yeah. When they, well, yeah. I mean, when they were filming that movie, she was pregnant.
Yeah.
So she's even more voluptuous than usual.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, in the 50s, it was a whole different standard. You weren't supposed to look skinny. Everyone's looking for curvaceous. That's right. Yeah.
All right. Jake, what did you think? You'd never seen it?
It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. It is just so funny. Jack Lemmon literally steals just about every single scene he's in. Marilyn Monroe is total knockout.
You had never seen it.
I've seen pictures and stuff of Marilyn Monroe.
There's a reason she's famous, you know, 60 years later. There's a reason still.
It's a great movie to start with.
Yep.
For her, yeah. Mm-hmm. God, those outfits are like painted on.
And just remember, Jake, she wants to be loved by you. You and nobody else but you.
You know, for a two-hour movie, it does not feel like
it. Doesn't feel at all.
And it's hard to do comedy past 90 minutes. There's a lot of comedies that go on like 90 minutes, and you're like, or past 90 minutes, you start looking at your watch. This movie, you're just like.
Because every scene's hilarious. You're laughing your head off every scene, so what are you going to cut?
Because everybody's.
The ending might be the best part, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they saved the best for
not
last.
Not even just the last line, just like that whole like last like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
great.
Where they're running around.
It's a great wrap-up. Yep. Yeah, they all have to hop on the boat. And it's like
yeah, I love that the there's one little scene where that I always love, and it gives Joey Brown something to do. It's when they're getting off the yacht, Marilyn Monroe and Tiger, and he comes back drunk. And he does that little thing down the stairs and gets in the boat and just takes off, and he's drunk and he's singing. I think he's doing the tango,
and he doesn't notice.
Yeah, he doesn't notice.
Completely pass each other. And he's just all whatever, and then he knows how to run the boat. You know, they had to do it backward to get to the yacht, and he's just all, oh yeah, you just hit this button.
Yeah, he's drunk and just like yeah. Da, da, da.
Yeah, that whole oh my god when they first show them dancing,
you're leading
again. So funny.
I like when they cut.
Daphne, you're leading again.
It goes from you're leading again to the next shot is him doing the rose. They're passing the rose. I love at the end they have them blindfolded. They have the band blindfolded and they're doing.
Oh, it's great.
That's
I'm gonna play a quick clip. This is actually one of my favorite lines because I still don't know what it means. But this is a scene where the millionaire. Oswald Fielding III. Osgood? Is it Osgood Fielding III? Is hitting on Jack Lemmon. Go back and watch the scene. Jack Lemmon gives the best side eye I've ever seen when he's standing at the elevator. But he talks about slapping it, and I don't know what it means, but it makes me laugh.
He's talking about slapping his.
I know, but it's just the way he says it.
Young blood around here.
Oh, well, personally, I'm type O.
You know, I've always been fascinated by show business.
Is that so?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it's cost my family quite a bit of money.
Oh, you invest in shows?
Showgirls. I've been married 7 or 8 times.
You're not sure?
Mama's keeping score. Frankly, she's getting rather annoyed with me.
Wouldn't wonder.
So this year, when the George White scandals opened, she packed me off to Florida. Right now, she thinks I'm out there on my yacht. Deep sea fishing.
Well, pull in your reel, Mr. Fielding. You're barking up the wrong fish.
Well, if I promise not to be a naughty boy, how about dinner tonight?
I'm sorry, I'll be on the bandstand.
Oh, of course. Which of these instruments do you play?
Bull fiddle.
Oh, fascinating. Do you use a bow or do you just pluck it?
Most of the time, I slap it.
You must be quite a girl.
Want a bet?
My last wife was an acrobatic dancer. You know, sort of a contortionist. She could smoke a cigarette while holding it between her toes. Zowie.
I love it. I love it. I love
which
it.
Line?
The slap it's
it?
The slap it. It's the way Jack Lemmon
it's
says.
The look on his face.
Yeah, he's like, most of the time, slap
like
it.
Slapping the bass.
Slap the bass.
Like slap the bass.
Slap at the bass.
Mm-hmm.
You're
mm-hmm.
barking up the wrong fish.
That's the greatest. Mixed metaphor, yeah.
He just pushes him. That's the way he pushes him. And Joey Brown's so great. He's so good.
Oh,
as...
and when he gets in the elevator and he's like, let's go for a walk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's... What about the little kid who, the kid who's hitting on Tony Curtis?
Oh,
yeah. And then he goes.
Shows up in the middle of the night. Yeah, and he's like,
he does the thing with the bow tie. He pulls the bow tie and he goes. and gets, oh god, this movie's awesome.
Get rid of your roommate.
Yeah, yeah. Get rid of your roommate. Let's say it's like, I got a bottle of gin. I hide in the, and whenever there's a lull, aren't you a little young for that?
What does he say? What a great idea to shoot it at the Coronado.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Down in San Diego.
And it's still there. It still looks just like that. And it's got the cage elevators, you know. It's got all that old, you know, it still looks just like that.
John, let's talk about it. What do you give this movie? I know what it's going to be, but I'm going to ask.
It's a 10.
Are you sure?
Well, I'd give it an 11, but I don't want to do that all the time because it might start throwing the curve off.
I'm going to go, what do you say, Justine?
I'll give it a 9.5.
Hey, how about that?
I really didn't like how... I mean, I get it. It's the times. I just didn't like her storyline. That's all.
That's okay. But 9.5 for you, I'm not even going to be mad.
That's one of your highest scores.
I would have gave it a 10. It's just, I just could not look past that. It was hard.
You know what's funny about that? Because it's the 50s doing the 20s. So you've got two time periods that you've got to leap over to make it. Yeah. You'd never get away with that now.
Still, 9.5 from Justine, I'm going to take.
I can't. Yeah. How often?
Pretty.
And it's not a war movie.
Yeah. Although there are machine guns in it.
It's a war.
Tommy guns, yeah.
It's a battle of the sexes.
Oh, that machine gun.
Sandy, do you want to give a score on this one?
Also 9.5.
9.5, 9.5. All right. Jake?
I give it 10.
There you go, buddy.
Yep, it was 10. Good. It was so good.
Good job, buddy.
Oddly enough, one of my other favorite comedies now, The Odd Couple.
Yeah,
I think I just love Jack Lemmon.
Yeah, he's great. And so great. We're going to see him again in a very dramatic role, but not for a little while. But do yourself a favor, pick up some of those 60s comedies he does with Matthau, like Fortune Cookie.
I love Grumpy Old Men.
They're great. Even Jack Lemmon's good. He does some really dramatic stuff in the 70s. He does like...
Yeah, he shows that he's not just a comedy actor. If you loved The Odd Couple and you love this one, The Fortune Cookies, the first time they put them together with Walter Matthau.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And it's the same director. It's Billy Wilder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they also did...
Buddy Buddy.
Buddy Buddy.
And The Front Page.
That's right.
They did a remake of The Front Page.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to need to look these up.
Patrick.
It's a 10.
That's a 10 for me, buddy.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Tens. You can see why AFI judges it the funniest. It's hard to... Comedy's hard. But for you to do a premise where it's guys in drag, which has been done to death, and hold it aloft for like 2 hours.
Yeah. Especially over 2 hours, mm-hmm. and to keep you engaged, mm-hmm. and still have you laughing till the end of the movie.
Because just when you think there might be a lull, they introduce another character that just throws, the, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and
just
every line is gold.
The whole side plot, too, is hilarious with the gangsters.
Yeah.
He's because it would have gotten old if they weren't still on the run. They show up at the hotel. Now you got a whole other problem.
Yeah.
It's not just about trying to put the moves on Marilyn Monroe. Now they're back in the hot water.
Yeah. And shifting gears with the Tony Curtis Marilyn Monroe adds another element to it. Because now you've got a third gag going where he's dressed as somebody else and making that work. And what does he say? He's like, oh, Josephine's got a bicycle. Or what does he say? Is it Josephine's got a bicycle? Yeah.
Sure, your yacht. A real yacht.
Oh, I love that scene when he's about to go out with her and he's like, oh, we're going swimming. And he does that little thing where he like boops Tony Curtis on the nose as they're walking out. Oh my God, it's so good.
So good.
You know, it's more, if you had to like clock the laughs, this movie's got to have more laughs than just about any movie you can think of.
It's funny.
For the amount of time you spend laughing, you're almost like gasping for air sometimes, you know?
I laughed a lot. I was really excited when Sandy told me. Sandy goes, if I have to watch one, which one should I watch? And I said, watch some like
that. Yeah. Talk about your desert island movies.
That's got to be on there. Now, we all love Jack Lemmon. I turned everyone into Jack Lemmon fans.
There you go.
See if there's one good thing about this digital movie club.
There you go.
We like Clint Eastwood, too.
Yes.
Jack did I give Lemmon, you guys
Clint Eastwood?
Did I give you guys the IMDb score?
Charles B.
97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yep. What was IMDb?
Yep. 8.2.
Charlie B.
Roger Ebert gives it 4.4. 4 out of 4. Roger Ebert gives it 4. I'm glad you guys like that. I forgot to look at the next Digital Movie Club.
Oh, so you don't
God.
Know.
But I know two. You know what? It's actually only going to be two movies because we're going to wrap it up. So I know what they are.
Those are the last two that wrap it up?
It is the last two.
Until we get to the 80s, yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
What is it?
So excited.
Spartacus?
With Tony Curtis.
With Tony Curtis. You're going to see Tony Curtis playing a very different role.
You know what we got to do? We got to do an addendum to Spartacus and have them watch the Flintstones episode with Tony Curtis.
Stony Curtis?
And it's him doing his own voice.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's playing, I am your slave boy, Wilma. Yonder lies the... I'm a singer of songs. Let's find a way that they can watch that Flintstones.
Singer of songs.
Yeah. Because you know that must have come out the year of Spartacus came out.
John and I went to see a movie called Sweet Smell of Success. We're not going to do it on the Digital Movie Club, but if you're a fan of Tony Curtis, watch Sweet Smell of Success. It's one of the great 50s movies, kind of a forgotten classic.
And I would say it's his best movie.
Fantastic.
Period.
John and I went to see a screening of it at... Yeah. We went to
at the Egyptian.
At the Egyptian.
And he was there.
And then Tony Curtis was there. And then we were waiting in line to get his autograph because I'm like, this is golden age Hollywood. I got to get his autograph. I don't want to bother him. There was about five or six girls from UCLA out there. There's film students. Tony Curtis is holding court with these girls for what, about 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah, and his wife is right
there. His young blonde wife. Blonde wife is like 30 years younger than him.
Yeah.
And he's just telling, he's like holding court and everything. As soon as the girls are done, he wants nothing to do with anybody. And I run up and I'm like, Mr. Curtis, I'm a big fan. Can I please have your picture? And then John took the picture. And I have a picture of me and Tony Curtis. And Tony Curtis looks like he does not want to be there.
You got to bring that.
I've got to bring that next time.
Or post it.
Yeah. He's wearing a really tight toupee. That's right. The look on his face like I'm bothering the hell out of him.
And I'm trying to get a question in. I'm like, hey, what did Cary Grant think of you doing Cary Grant?
And then he said, loved it.
Yeah.
Is what he said.
And what's interesting is the next movie he does is with Cary Grant. He does Operation Petticoat. And I thought, genius, you got the two of them together. They must have had a great old time, you know?
All right, so Spartacus is one we're going to do.
Yes.
Stanley Kubrick, Spartacus, with Kirk Douglas.
Kurt, it's a rotten war. It's a dirty, stinking rotten war.
And another movie that I feel like Justine's going to really like this one.
Is it a war movie?
It's not a war movie. It's a Western.
Oh, she might still like it.
But it's kind of a Western adventure movie called The Professionals. Ooh. With a couple of people we've seen. We've got Claudia Cardinale from Once Upon a Time in the West. We've got Lee Marvin. We've got Robert Ryan. Woody Strode, and Burt Lancaster. I don't think we've done a Burt Lancaster movie.
I have never seen The Professionals.
It's great.
I've heard it before, but never actually seen it.
It's a lot of fun. Real light, easy movie.
I've seen The Professionals.
And Jack Palance playing a Mexican.
Well.
By the way, why did the Mexican have to die in War of the Worlds? He just wanted to sell us tamales.
With the white flag?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought that was a joke.
Because he's Mexican.
I'll tell you what, he did say the most Mexican thing of all you could say. He's like, if you don't know what it is, don't mess with it. I was like, that is Mexican parent right there. What's up, Justine? Question? Concern?
Can I tell you my score for Sierra Madre?
Yeah, Treasure of Sierra Madre. You finally finished it.
I did. I give it an 8.
Wow! Wow.
Did you love it?
I did.
Because you liked Humphrey Bogart being an asshole?
Humphrey Gobart was playing himself.
Gobart? Yeah. Because he went crazy?
Yes, he was exactly who I thought he was. And he's dirty and disgusting. And
he's the man you knew him to be.
He is exactly playing himself.
And wasn't Cody your favorite character?
You guys... I was like, Cody's here now. And you guys were like,
Cody. What happened with Cody?
And I was like, dead. Oh, cool.
Cody got it.
When they read the letter, were you...
Oh, especially the letter.
Did that make
letter.
You tear up?
No.
Okay. That was
you felt bad though, huh?
Really hurt.
You felt bad a little bit, huh?
Oh man, really? that letter.
No, the only part I was like, oh my god, they're gonna give like the wife the money. I was like, oh.
I know, isn't that great? Sweet. I'll tell you what, you can have my share if you'll go visit the wife, you know.
And I swear, when all the money like blew away or the gold, I was like, wow, I'm right there with them laughing.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. I just wasted my time watching this, but it's hilarious.
But it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Did you love the little dance he did? You're so stupid. You don't even know how stupid you are.
I was just shocked that he died.
Yeah.
And I was fine with it.
Not only died. Violently. He dies violently. He gets chopped to pieces.
Man, I thought he would, like, you know, learn what happened, but
just so you know,
in that crazy mode. The whole
John bit. Houston wanted to do a scene where they actually chop his head off and you see the head roll off.
Ew.
And the censors wouldn't let it do it. And Humphrey Bogart's like, what's the big deal? It's just a guy's head rolling off. Like, he couldn't believe that they cut it. Like,
it was great. The whole story was just,
you know, Humphrey,
it was twists and turns. It was everywhere.
Humphrey Bogart loved the role. He loved doing it. He said it was like his, I think that was him. That was like his favorite movie.
Yeah.
Why do you assume he was really like that?
Yeah, because he's crazy.
Yeah, he is.
Because I don't see him like as this smile. Leading role that you're supposed to be attracted to.
You're not
I
supposed
to see that.
No, it's not that he's attractive. It's that she was attracted to him in Casablanca because they were kind of thrown together.
You know what he said about Casablanca? He said, it's not that all of a sudden I woke up and I'm a leading man. I'm a leading man because she looks at me with those eyes, all misty, and now the audience believes I'm a leading man. I'm still the same guy, but because Ingrid Bergman's looking at me with such love and affection, suddenly I'm the leading guy now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining us on this digital movie.
What did you
give? Oh, yeah. What's your final rank?
Treasure of the Sarah
Margaret. She said 8.5.
Eight. No, I gave it 8.
8.5.
That's high.
8.5?
That's high.
8.5 maybe for its depth.
You give it a 9?
Did you ever?
Did you push it?
Did you ever think you'd give a Bogart movie an 8?
No.
There you go.
But we're all right, done guys. Now. We're done, right?
That's it for a while.
Well, he comes
no more Bogart.
He comes back in the 80s as a Coca-Cola commercial.
For John. That's right. For John, for Jake, for Patrick, for Justine, for who did I miss? For Sandy, this transmission ends now. Fight the power, guys.